fifth week of the current series, Life Apps. And if you haven't been here the last 4 weeks, you've missed out on one big idea, and that is application is everything. We've been communicating that for 4 weeks now, that application is everything. And for the followers of Jesus in the room, that means that we have an opportunity each and every day to put into practice what we learn from the scriptures, to apply it to our life and allow it to have an effect on us as it affects other people. In the 3 weeks ago, guys, we talked about the importance of forgiveness. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the importance of rest. And last week, Jonathan brought to us the importance of life-giving relationships and how in all of us, there's an opportunity there. But see, the culture, as Jonathan mentioned, has been telling us and selling to us that to get advanced, to go further in the world, we need to live life alone. We need to be by ourselves. We need to strive to succeed. We need to be a winner where everybody else becomes a loser. But in God's economy, it's different. We learned that, no, we need to team up together. We need to be in these interdependent relationships. We need to be working as a team, serving one another, to where out of those relationships, two things can pop up: love and good works. And it's within that today that we're going to talk about a few things regarding relationships. Because see, as I was doing some research, as I was thinking about this talk for today, I began to think about the value that we have in each of our lives within the relationships that we have. And a lot of us, right, we have relationships with our families, with our friends, tight-knit, close relationships. We also have relationships with those that we work with, or that we hang out with, or we coach, or we lead in other areas of life. And then we have relationships with the guy at Starbucks, right? The guy we see every single day that knows our order, that knows exactly what we want, what we don't want. And I'm not a Starbucks guy, so I can't go into the details of that, but I do go to Milano's a lot in Bartlett. And the guys know my name there, like Norm from Cheers. And they know exactly what I want, when I want it, and I have a relationship with them, much like you guys do with whoever that is in your life. But see, what relationships are marked by, in my opinion, are actions and words. What we do and what we say. How we treat people, and then also how we communicate to them. And it's the communication side that I want to talk about today, because in that communication piece of relationships, we find this app that we're going to talk about. The value of encouragement. You see, many of us, we've had conversations in our lives that have sent us through the roof as emotionally, how we feel about ourselves. And we've also had conversations in our history, in our life, that have kind of brought us down low, right? I mean, I can remember growing up and having conversations with mom and dad after I got a report card, and they were excited. They were pumped. They were like, "You did great, fantastic." And I'm like, "Yay." And there were times, right, where I didn't clean my room like they asked me to, or I didn't do things like they told me to do. And they kind of got on to me, and I felt kind of bad. And there were times where I had coaches growing up that would celebrate with me and be like, "You did great, man. It was awesome." And I'd be like, "All right." And there were times where I'd goof off or I wouldn't do what I was supposed to do. And those conversations made me feel kind of like bad. Kids in the neighborhood, teachers at school, up and down, our relationships are defined by the conversations that we have, good or bad, positive or negative. And I know I'm not the only one in the room that feels that way. Because I know that for many of us, right, we have these conversations each and every day with the people that we love the most, the people that we work with, and the people that we catch on a regular basis that we might not be that close with. And today what we're going to find out is that words matter. That words matter incredibly in our lives. And that encouraging words matter most. And what's interesting, guys, is that there have been research done about this. There has been discussions about how this works in life and how there have been people that have spent years discussing and talking about the value of what it means in a conversation to have encouragement, to think about what you're saying before you say it, to have this way of communicating to where you can lift someone up or tear someone down. For a bunch of years, there have been people that have discussed and looked at the way mental illness has affected people. But there has also been research done on mental wellness and how that affects people. And what we're going to talk about today is how we've all had experiences in our lives. We've all had opportunities in our lives. And how deep down, if we really think about it, we all have a way to communicate to someone that could bring them up or that could lower them down. So I want to ask you this already, right here in the beginning of our time together. How are your conversations going? How are your conversations going? How do you communicate to your family, to your friends? How do we talk to our coworkers or our employees or our employers? What are we saying to them? What are we letting them know each and every day when we talk to them? How do we communicate to them when we say what we say to them? What kind of attitude do we bring them? Are we bringing them up? Or are we tearing them down? Are we positive? Or are we negative? Are we encouraging? Or are we critical? Because I think that deep down, a lot of us, we want to be encouraging. We want to lift people up. And yet we find ourselves, if we're honest, struggling with that. Struggling with coming across as someone who really cares and appreciates, who really affirms and wants to lift up. And the reason why is because we've allowed the situations in our life, we've allowed some of the circumstances in our life, we've allowed some of the issues in our life possibly to dictate how we communicate to other people. And I know, like you know, that that's not exactly best. So our hope this morning is that we can take a look at two things. We can look at some research, and we can look at the scriptures, and we can figure out the value of encouraging other people. And if we apply the encouragement out to our life, the difference it could possibly make in every aspect of our life, from our family, to the people we work with, to the guy that we hang out with at Starbucks, or in my case, Milano's. But the way I want to do that, guys, is to go back about 50 years. I want to take you back to a doctor named Donald Clifton. And Donald Clifton was a positive psychologist who passed away about 2003. Before that, he had done some extensive research on what it meant to study the positive relationships people have in their life and how it affected everything about other people. He looked at husbands and wives. He looked at sons and daughters. He looked at employees and employers. He looked at the interaction between moms and sons or dads and daughters. He did all these research and all these interviews over all this time for about 50 years. And he came to the conclusion that the reality is we tend to speak more negatively than positively. We tend to be a little more critical than we are encouraging. But he noticed the effects of what it meant to encourage. He noticed the effects of what it meant to bring people up. He did research around the facts that people were just better off when they're communicated in a positive way, in an encouraging way. But you guys already know that, right? You guys know that. You guys know when someone brings you up, you feel better about yourself, right? You guys know when someone says something encouraging to you, you want to kind of take the world by storm and not curl up into a ball. You guys know that. I mean, Dr. Clifton even did a survey. He did some research with 700 married couples one time. 700 married couples he sat down with, him and a colleague of his. And they had a conversation with them for 15 minutes, discussing positive over negative, discussing just life in general. And in 15 minutes, he was able to determine how well the marriage would last over 10 years. How? Because of the words that were communicated in the conversation, because of what was said to these people at that time. He got the people back together 10 years later. 10 years later, called them up on the phone, sent them an email. However he got back to them, he got back to them. And him and a colleague of his were 94% accurate on who stayed together and who got divorced. 94% based on a 15-minute conversation with 700 couples. Now, I know that might not resonate with everybody in the room, but that's pretty good. That's good. But what did he notice? What did it matter? Well, what he noticed was that however the people communicated to one another, that's how the people felt about themselves. However they were communicated to is how they took the encouragement or the discouragement to heart. And he noticed there was this magic ratio of 5 to 1. That is, 5 positive comments to 1 negative comment mattered tremendously in the longevity of a relationship. 5 to 1. 5 to 1. But think about yourself. Can you say to yourself today, that's how I communicate to my wife or my husband. That's how I carry about my conversations. I'm a 5 to 1 guy. I can't say that. It makes me a little nervous because I love my wife. And I want our relationship to work. And I want us to be a couple that lasts for the rest of our lives. But what the research was showing is that the amount of time we spend focused on pushing the positive toward the ones we love and the ones we interact with on a daily basis, it matters. Why? Because words matter. Because we're wired emotionally. Because we're wired to communicate. And we can't get away from conversations because we can't get away from those we love because we live in a world that's drawn together through relationships. And he was able to permeate this in all areas of life. So the question today is, how are we doing in this area? How are we handling ourselves as it relates to encouragement over discouragement, being positive over being negative? I mean, what can we do about it? I mean, guys, other research has shown that we tend to say more critical things than positive things 6 to 1. 6 to 1 in a given conversation. 6 to 1. And what that means is, guys, that we live in a culture that's just kind of down. Just kind of like, And that's the world we live in. But I know right here in this room, we don't want to live in this kind of culture, do we? We don't want to have those kind of relationships where we're just kind of always pushing toward what's not good, pushing toward the negative, pushing toward what's not right in the world. We want to instill the good in people, don't we? We want to lift people up, don't we? We want to be lifted up, don't we? And we all want that type of life, an encouraged life. So how do we get there? What do we do? Where do we go to find answers to life's tough issues? Where do we go to reflect on who we are and how we act and what we do in our lives? We have an opportunity today to go into the scriptures and to find out what God has to say about our interaction with other people, about our lives together with other people, about how it matters what you say to other people, about how encouragement counts in relationships. And in Proverbs, Solomon, who was the wisest man to ever live, he said this small little verse that I think if we understand this, I think if we get this, I think we begin to apply this to our life, it can change the trajectory of our relationships. It can change the way we feel right now sitting in this room as I communicate to you that, hey, me, you, we're probably not as positive as we could be, as encouraging as we could be. But if we understand this, today can be different for us. Today can be better for us. Today can be the day that we start looking at relationships completely differently. Completely different than we ever have before. So if you have your Bibles, we'll be in Proverbs 11, verse 25. And Solomon writes this, and it's pretty incredible, and it's pretty simple, and it lands pretty well with what we're talking about today. He says, "The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed, and those who help others are helped. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed, and those who help others are helped." What's he trying to say? What's he communicating to us? That if we bless others, there's an opportunity for us to be on the receiving end of blessing. And if we help others, there's an opportunity there for us to be on the receiving end of help. But see, where I sit a lot of times, I want the encouragement to come to me. I want the encouragement to come to me. I want to be on the receiving end of the encouragement, and I forget sometimes the value of engaging the encouragement myself. Because you see, guys, we're all in here, right? We go to God many, many times in our lives, in our daily life, and we say, "God, I want you to bless me. Please bless me. Please show up in my life. Please be here for me and my family. And the people I work with, possibly. And the guy at Starbucks or Milano's." We all want God to show up for these people and to bless them and to be about what they're about. We all want them to feel the appreciation and the love and the attention, the affirmation that God has for us. We all want that, right? But I think what Solomon's saying here is that, listen, you be the blessing. You be the blessing in their life. You be the one that's going to encourage them and lift them up. You be the one that's going to inspire them and motivate them and drive them and push them. You be the one that's going to clear out all the garbage that's going on in their life so they can see the good in their life. You be the one that's going to be known for being an encourager and not a discourager, for being someone that's turning up someone else versus tearing them down. You be the one. But guys, do we even think about that? Do we think about that in our lives? Do we forget sometimes what the life that we actually have in Christ for those that are Christians in the room? Do we forget that He is risen from the dead? That He's provided us with the Spirit of God inside us, that we can move and we can act, we can behave as free people. Why? Because we're free. We can live in a world that is broken down, but there is a Redeemer who came and died and rose from the dead so we can live with Him forever and ever, and we can celebrate that with Him and with them. I know I do. I forget it all the time. I struggle with this all the time. Because I get caught up so much in the day-to-day struggle of life, and I forget the big picture. I forget what it's like to think about what's going on really in the world. Because guys, listen, we have opportunities. We have opportunities when we take advantage of becoming an encourager, of being a blessing for someone's life. We have a way to really speak into the life that we have as a follower of Jesus. Despite where we are, despite how difficult things are, despite how negative our life might seem to be to us, we can always go back to the scriptures and realize, listen, I have an opportunity to be a blessing for other people. I can pour into their life. There is some good in this world. And if at the very least, it's Christ in me. So guys, what do we do? Well, maybe in our homes, maybe husbands, you can begin to pay attention to your wife and really pay attention to her. Have a conversation with her. Talk to her, not at her. Give her the time that she needs, because that's just how the ladies were designed. They need time. They need attention. It's a good thing, guys. Wives, pay attention to your husband. Affirm him. Let him know how good he does outside the home for you. Let him know how he provides for you. Let him know how he takes care of you and how he helps around the house. Let him know how much that means to you. Your words matter. And your encouraging words matter most. Employers, spend some time with your employees. Get to know them. Have a coffee lunch with them. Have a break with them. Talk to them. Ask them how they're doing. Let them know that you're not just about the bottom line. Let them know that you are here for them, serving them, taking care of them, providing them with an opportunity to be successful in their job, guiding them, encouraging them. Imagine the difference. What would work be like? Everybody be hopping in there all pumped. Employees, talk to your coworkers like they're people. Talk to them, not about them. Lift them up. Encourage them. Imagine the atmosphere. Be high fives, elbow bumps, and chest bumps all day long. Why? Because positive things kind of turn everything else positive. But if you spin things negative, if you come off critical, that's the type of atmosphere, that's the type of environment you're going to find yourself in. And I know deep down that nobody really wants to be a part of that crowd, do they? Nobody wants to live in a negative world. Nobody wants to be around the critical guy. Trust me. Nobody wants to be around the guy that everything out of his mouth is negative. Nobody wants to talk to them. Nobody really even wants to really relate to him. They kind of honestly just tolerate him. But see, what we can do for that guy is we can encourage him. We have an opportunity to inject encouragement in his life. We have an opportunity to say something to him in such a way that can lift him up. Good to see you. Man, it's nice to see you. That's a cool looking shirt. Man, your facial hair looks great. Whatever. We have opportunities, guys, right? We have opportunities to say something to someone. And if we don't take advantage of it, we're going to miss out. And they also can miss out on a life that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt is a blessed life. So what do? We encourage. We apply the encouragement app to our life. We give ourselves some room and some opportunity to pour in some truth and some love and some attention and some affirmation and some all of that good stuff into someone. Think about who that person is in your life. Think about an opportunity you have. And let me give you another example of what I mean. About 2,000 years ago, there was a guy named Paul. We're familiar, I think, for most of us. He was the guy that was a church destroyer turned church missionary. Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and said, "Hey, dude, what are you doing?" And Paul said, that was what Paul said. He was totally blown away by the fact that he saw Jesus. Heart was changed, began to tell other people about the Lord, began to tell other people about what the Spirit of God can do in your life, began to tell other people that the Jesus of Nazareth, the one that was crucified, was alive and well, and he was wrecking everything in the Roman world in a good way. And Paul was this guy that would go and set up churches all over the Mediterranean area. Well, he had some buddies that also got involved, a student of his. One, his name was Epaphras. And he was in a town called Colossae, and he got with a group of people, and he led them to the Lord, and they started a church in Colossae. And there was a letter that Paul wrote to this church in Colossae that we call the Colossians. And in this letter, Paul begins to encourage these people. And the reason why is because they were being discouraged by some outside influences. People were selling them some bad news about Jesus, some untrue news, some stuff that just wasn't right. They were denying his deity. And they were denying his humanity. They were denying the fact that our relationship with our Heavenly Father matters. That your bodies and what you do inside your bodies matters. And Paul's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I got to address this. But see, what Paul could have done, because I'm sure in that time there were miracles being done in their midst. The Spirit of God was moving in almost a tangible way where you could literally see it. Paul could have laid into these people. Paul could have said, "Hey guys, listen. Epaphras, one of my students, my guy, was with you. Miracles happened. Things happened. You need to change what you're doing, and you need to quit being discouraged and all this kind of stuff." And he could have just pointed the finger in a letter, and that could have been it. And he could have been justified. Why? Because he was Paul. And he was like head missionary of the church. And he had all the right in the world to just tell the truth and save all the soft stuff. But he didn't. He didn't at all. See, Paul knew something. He knew he had an opportunity right there in that moment. He knew an opportunity in the conversation he was about to have with them via letter to lift them up, to give them an opportunity, to stir them up one last time possibly, because Paul didn't know how his life would be the next day. Paul would go through beatings, shipwrecks, got bit by a snake one day that was poisonous, didn't die. He didn't know what was going on. So what did he do? He took advantage. And this is what he says. And imagine if you're sitting in that church or in that house or wherever they were, listening to the words that were written by Paul with a pen to these people. It's incredible. He says, Colossians 1, verse 7. "You learn the good news from Epaphras. He is dear to us. He serves Christ together with us. He faithfully works for Christ and for us among you. He also told us about your love that comes from the Holy Spirit." You see, guys, this Epaphras guy, he loved them. And he was sharing the good news about how they were acting, reacting, living now that the Holy Spirit had come amongst them to Paul. That's encouraging. That's the good stuff. That's where we want to end up our conversations going. Verse 9, "That's why we've not stopped praying for you. We've been praying for you since the day we heard about you." Imagine that. "We've been asking God to fill you with the knowledge of what he wants." Wow. "We pray that he will give you spiritual wisdom and understanding." See, guys, that's big. That's huge. "We pray that you will lead a life that is worthy of the Lord." This is where he like turns on, puts his coach hat on, and gets his whistle out.
We pray that you will please him in every way. So we want you to bear fruit in every good thing you do. We want you to grow to know God better. We want you to be very strong in keeping with his glorious power. We want you to be patient. We want you to never give up. We want you to be joyful as you give thanks to the Father. You can imagine these people like bobbing and weaving up there. You know what I'm saying? They're like pulling shirts. They're about ready to go. Why? Because of what Paul's saying and how Paul's saying it is having an effect on them. See, Paul could have gone negative, but he didn't. And this is how he concludes his encouraging part of this letter. He says, he has made you fit to share with all his people. You will all receive a share in the kingdom of light. Yes. Do it with me. You ready? Yes. That's what he wanted to communicate with them. Oh, but wait, there's more. He saved us from the kingdom of darkness. Don't forget that. He has brought us in the kingdom of the Son he loves. Verse 14. This is where we get that tattoo right on our heart. Because of what the Son has done, we've been set free. Because of him, all of our sins have been forgiven. Can you imagine somebody texting that to you? Somebody saying that to you? I sent this very portion of this letter here to some of my students like last Wednesday as I was working on this. And I asked them, if I were to write that to you, if this were my words and not Paul's words, how would that make you feel? Immediately, they said, inspired, overjoyed, incredible, pumped. You see what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm getting at? That in every conversation we have, in every relationship that we have an opportunity to pour in something positive or something negative, something encouraging or something critical. And Paul took an advantage right there in the midst of possible prison situation for him to speak to a church that he didn't even start and let them know how much he cared about them, how much he was praying for them, how much they meant to him, and how much he wanted God to do something miraculous and amazing in their life. And remind them, listen, you've been set free. Your sins have been forgiven. Now, how would that then change their conversations with other people? The knowledge of knowing, I've been set free. My sins have been forgiven. What in the world do I have to really worry about? What in the world do I have to really criticize? Am I not on the side of Jesus? Do you see, guys, what we tend to do is we tend to just not engage when it comes to encouragement. We tend to just assume. But our challenge today, because we know this is huge, and we know this could be awesome, we know this could be great, is our challenge today is for you guys to simply think before you speak. In the conversations and the relationships you have, what matters the most, what means more than anything, is for us to possibly think before we speak. I mean, think about that. Think about what that could do in the dynamic in your home. Think about what that can do in the dynamic at work. Or just somebody that you just bump into one day. How can that be paid forward? How can that change the trajectory of someone's life? It can. I mean, we all know that words matter. We all know that words have weight. We all know that a lot of times we communicate something that's not positive to other people. But today, right, we have the opportunity to check ourselves, to realize, whoa, I need to begin to think before I speak. And if we can do that in here, in our relationships, guys, I'm telling you, that blessed life that James wrote about nearly 2,000 years ago, that blessed life that doers of the word experience is for you. It's right there. So guys, let our conversations, let our relationships be marked with love and good works, with appreciation and encouragement. But let us make sure that before we go into saying something negative, we think about it first. We think about it. Because guys, we all have an opportunity. We all have relationships. We all have these markers in our life that we remember back on what was said to us and what we said to others. And it changes you. So guys, be known as an encourager. Be known as someone that can encourage other people. And finally, understand that I myself am working on this. And I personally feel and have felt encouragement. And I remember what it's like to be encouraged. And I'll end with a little small story from my childhood. That growing up, I lived with my mom and dad. And there was opportunities for me and there was times for me to do some pretty incredible things, whether it be sports or church or going out of town with friends or family or whatever. And I myself had an incredible, I thought, childhood. But one thing that I think made it more incredible was how my dad would communicate to me about me. My dad would spend time with me after ball games or when I got my report card or when I was just hanging out in the backyard with him. And he would pour into me how good I was and how he loved me and how he appreciated the time he could spend with me. And I'm telling you guys, it has made all the difference in the world. And when I speak to my kids, I'd want to do my best to encourage them and to pour into them how much they mean to me. Because guys, we only have so much time. And we don't need to wait forever to say how much we appreciate those we love and those we spend time with. So guys, do yourself a favor. Be on the receiving end. Be on the giving end of encouragement, because I promise you, what you say to someone matters, and encouraging words matter most.